when you get there, I want you to kind of put your finger there and mark it, because we'll be coming back to that in a minute. Luke chapter 12. Then go back to Psalm 14, or Psalms 14. Are you there? So you have your finger at Luke 12. You should be at Psalm 14. I'm just going to read the first verse. Psalm 14, first verse, the Bible says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now go over to Psalm 53. I believe in Bible study, there's a principle that holds true, and that's when God repeats things, it's for a reason. He wants us to get the idea. Repetition's a great teacher. Well, Psalm 53, verse 1. "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good." The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now go over to Luke 12. Start at verse 16. The Bible says, "And he," that's Jesus, "spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Now let's pray. Father, again, we praise you for these folks who have come out in the cold weather. And Lord, they've come to be in this place where the word of God is preached and believed. Lord, once again, we need you. Lord, if you don't show up and work in our midst, it's all going to be in vain. So we ask you, we plead with you, work in hearts and lives here today. Again, if there's one here without Christ, help them come to Christ. Convict them. Break through those barriers in their heart to bring them to that place of surrender. And for believers who are holding out on you, different areas of their life, different things you have for them, want for them, and they've not submitted, I just pray you'll work in their heart. Lord, encourage and challenge us from your word. We ask that you do the work which is needed and necessary in every heart and every life. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I title this, Seven Fools Found in the Bible. Seven Fools Found in the Bible. Has anyone ever called you a fool? You know, no doubt, we have all at times, sometime or another, done some foolish things. But you know, it's very hurtful and degrading for someone to label us as a fool. Now, just what does it mean to be a fool? Well, a very trite definition would be a fool is someone who is lacking wisdom or judgment. Thus, a fool is one who acts in a foolish manner. A little heavier, if you will, definition of a fool is one who lacks common sense perception of the reality of things both natural and spiritual. I'll say that again. A fool is one who lacks common sense perception of the reality of things both natural and spiritual. Today, in our text over here in Luke, we find Jesus giving a parable concerning the failure to live with eternity in view. In this parable, a very rich farmer is found to be prospering in his business. His crops have come in and they're so abundant, his barns cannot contain them. So he says, what am I going to do? He says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my small barns. I'm going to build bigger barns. And I'm going to store all myself in it. All my stuff. And you know, I thought about this. That in itself was not a bad decision. That was a logical thing, according to human logic, to do. Not a bad decision, not a foolish decision. But then this rich man said that he had plenty amassed here on earth, and so now he's going to retire and enjoy the easy life. Well, again, to the world, that's a real good decision. You know, people today, boy, I can't wait till I retire. I've had people ask me, when are you going to retire? And I tell them when they shovel dirt on me. Have no plans to retire. But retirement is a big thing anymore. You know, because people usually have a nest egg or something and they're looking forward to the easy life and maybe moving to Florida and being a beach bum. I don't know. But that's what this man's going to do. He said, hey, I got it made. I've made my fortune. I'm just going to lay back and take it easy. The world, hey, that's a good decision. But to God, it was the decision of a fool. Why? Why does God see this as a decision of a fool? He calls him a fool. Here's why. Because this man failed to invest in spiritual things. And that very night, that man was going to die. And that very night, he would die and leave this world and leave everything he had labored and sacrificed for behind. Leave it to somebody else. Jesus says, whose is it going to be then? He was a fool, and here's why he was a fool. He had foolishly gave all his that he had, all that he was, gave every part of his effort to things with no thought about what's going to happen when he died. So Jesus said, the man's a fool. But you know, as I was looking at this, I found out that the man in Luke 12 is not the only person God calls a fool in the Bible. Actually, there are several fools mentioned in the Bible. You know, I looked up the word fool. Fool is used 66 times in the Bible. Foolish is used 48 times. So between those two, we have 100 plus times. Foolish, I said, is 48 times. Fools, plural, is 41 times. Fools is a possessive 7 times. Find that word a lot in the Bible. That's what I'm trying to get across. Fools. Several are mentioned in the Bible. And today I want us to meet 7 people who are designated as fools. And these are types of fools that are alive and well in our world today. One trait of a fool we've already noted was that lack of perception of the reality of things. You see, a fool will deny reality and the fact, even while reality and the fact stares him in the face. Have you ever dealt with somebody like that? There's a reality staring at them, and yet they refuse to believe it. That's a fool. So I want to introduce you to these seven fools I found in the Bible. Number one, the atheistical fool. He's the one in Psalm 14:1 and 53:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So this is the fool who denies the very existence of God. And he's a fool because he's denying in spite of the evidence that's in front of him. You say, what evidence? The very creation of God. God says his creation declares his existence. Psalm 19 and verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. Look around you. I dealt with an atheist about 6 months ago, door knocking. He said he was an atheist. I said, are you serious? He said, well, yeah. I said, well, I got to ask you this. How can you look at everything around you, the perfection of how everything works together, and say there's no design to it? By the way, don't fall into the trap of people now. There's some people identifying themselves as believing in a design. They won't say that God is the creator, but they're saying there has to be some kind of design to all this. Well, if there's a design, there has to be a creator. But see, they're bantering that around now too, so don't fall for that one. The sun, the stars, the moon, the planets, all of that, the very firmament of the world, the cycles that our world goes through. By the way, Al Gore, it's normal. We heat up a little bit, we cool down a little bit. Where are you today, by the way? It was 4 at my house. Huh? You ever think about just the miracle of our water system? It rains here up on the mountains and on the earth, and that water drains itself and purifies itself, flowing down into the streams. And it gets down into the streams, and it flows down all the way down into that ocean. It gets out in that ocean, and the sun comes out and heats it up, and it evaporates up into the clouds. And those clouds blow back over the mountains. And when they get to the mountains, they can't climb over them, so they drop all their water. And that water now goes into the stream, and the stream goes down to the ocean. And that's why we keep having water. All that just happened. Fool. The very order of the creation declares God's existence. And then this is a fool because he uses his finite knowledge to deny the truth of Almighty God. He does not want to accept the reality of God, so he simply denies he exists. Let me tell you something. There's a bridge that goes from, I guess it's Virginia to Virginia or Maryland to Virginia. It's called the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. I've been there. Man, I was on there one day, my wife and I, we went under one of those tunnels, and just as we went under, a big old cargo boat was going over top of us. But I've been there. This thing stretches, I don't know how many miles of nothing but water, and you go a while on the road, and then you go under, and then you go a while on the road, and you go under, and you can cross there. I've seen it. So you can come along and you say, I don't believe that for a minute. You can do that. You can say, I don't believe there's any bridge down there. I think you're telling me a lie. But you know, it don't change the fact. The bridge is still there. See, the fool thinks because he denies something, it makes it that it's not there. You can deny God all day long, but he's still there. Fool. This is the one who cannot explain, nor can he see God, so he refuses to accept the reality of him. Well, I can't see him, and I can't feel him, and I can't explain him. So let me tell you something. I think I mentioned this before. I cannot see electricity. And in a large part, I cannot explain electricity. But I know it's real.
Yeah.
I experienced it last week. Yeah. But see, I believe electricity is real. I can't explain. I can't see it. But the lights come on. And so I accept it as it's a reality. See, this is the kind of fool that puts his thinking above obvious truth. He likes to form his own opinions of what's true and what isn't. I challenge people with that. They say, well, I think and I feel. And I say, you know, it don't matter what you think or what you feel. It matters what's true. People want to say, well, I just don't think that. I just don't believe. I just don't feel that. It doesn't matter. The reality is the reality, and only a fool denies reality. So these are the ones that come up with all kinds of ideas and theories to explain what he sees. This is the guy that comes up with evolution. I don't want to have a God who designed all this, so I'm going to figure out how all this happened. So he says it all started with a Big Bang. How many of you ever heard the Big Bang theory? Okay, the question is, what went bang? If there was nothing, what went bang? Nobody's ever told me that yet. Nobody has the answer. Oh, yeah, there was a Big Bang, and all this started, and then, of course, you know, the theory that there was this little amoeba-type thing down in a mud puddle somewhere, and it started to develop, and pretty soon it got fins and was swimming around, and pretty soon it decided it didn't want to swim anymore. It wanted to walk, so it jumped up on the shore and started to walk a little bit, but then it decided it didn't like crawling on four, so it wanted to stand upright, and so it stood upright, and pretty soon it decided it wanted to look like you and me. Now, that's a capitalized version, but that's what they believe. And they have no evidence. And I've had, I don't know how many people say, I said, why can you believe evolution? We have evidence. Show it to me. Oh, we have it. I said, well, show it to me. If you had it, you wouldn't call it the theory of evolution. You'd call it the fact of evolution. But you don't have the fact. But he's a fool. And by the way, this particular type fool is always very dogmatic in his belief. Just will not even investigate. Absolutely firm in the fact there is no God. Well, then there's the rationalistic fool. We find him over in 1 Corinthians 15. Go there. Rationalistic. Look at verses 35 and 36. Now remember, Paul is writing here, and he's writing about the resurrection of Christ. And, you know, when Christ was resurrected, it was a big controversy. Not everybody believed it. Now, the apostles saw him, and he had other witnesses who saw him, but he did not appear to everybody. So there were a lot of people who were skeptical. And, of course, they lied on him, and they said that somebody had stolen the body and all that mess. And Paul here is dealing with that idea of people who would not believe in the resurrection. And he says in verse 35, but some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and every seed is his own body. Now, they were questioning the resurrection, not only of Christ, but our resurrection. And they're saying, well, if we're resurrected, what kind of body are we going to have? You know, this is the fool that wants to deny that there is a resurrection of the dead. He cannot explain Christ's resurrection. And he has a hard time just taking it by faith, so what he does, he denies it ever happened. And then something else he does, the rationalistic guy, he judges everything by his own experience. what's that have to do with anything? Well, he looks around and he says, dead people are dead. They're done. We put them in the ground. It's over. Their body rots away. That's the end of it. How can there be a resurrection? Very rationalistic thinking. He says, I've never seen anybody resurrected. Graveyards full of dead people. Ain't one of them ever come out of there. This is rational thinking, you know, factual. Got to have everything factual. He's never seen it happen, nor does he know anyone who saw it happen. So he says it can't happen. And this is the rationalistic one who denies the very miracles of the Bible. Oh, there's so many people, you know, they're rationalists. They say, oh, those miracles in the Bible, they never happened. They're just good stories. Well, I don't believe that for a minute. I believe every miracle recorded in the Bible is a miracle that actually happened. See, their problem is he's rationalistic and he's not willing to believe that God can do what science or natural law says can't happen because he's God. So this is the one who can't believe that there was actually Noah's flood. Now, again, be careful here. There's some people going around and they say, well, I believe in the flood, but I don't believe the whole world was flooding. I don't believe God made enough water to flood the world. I believe there was a geological or some type of event that had a flood over there in that particular area. Number one, God's capable of making that much water, and he did. Yeah. He made so much water, it was 15 feet above the highest point of the earth. God can do that. Number two, it was a worldwide flood. The Bible declares that the whole world was covered and all living creatures that breathed there died except Noah and his family and all those animals he had in the ark. Yeah. And archaeologists today find evidence of a flood and they refuse to admit it. But they find all kinds of evidence in different places that indicate this whole world was flooded. They find clamshells on top of mountains. They find geological strata turned upside. They find all kinds of things that definitely indicate there has been a catastrophic flood throughout this whole world, and yet they deny it. So the rationalistic fool says, I don't believe it. He says, I don't believe there was a flood. I don't believe the Red Sea was parted. You can't part water that way. God can. And didn't do it just once. He did at least three times. God can do that. They say, oh, no. By the way, they came up with this thing about crossing the Jews crossed not at the Red Sea, but the Reed Sea. And it was only 6 inches deep there. And so they could just walk across. Number one, that's not dry ground. Number two, if that's the case, how in the world did Pharaoh's army drown in 6 inches of water? They don't believe the three Jewish boys experienced it going into that furnace and coming out without being burnt at all. They didn't even smell like smoke. Something I can't say for some Christians. They don't believe in a virgin birth. They don't believe in Christ's miracles. They don't believe he walked on water. Oh, I honestly read this guy tried to explain Christ walking on the water. And he said he didn't walk on water. What actually happened was where he's claimed to have done that, there's a cold flow of a current through there. And it's so cold, the water actually freezes. But you can't see it because there's a little bit of water on the top. So when Jesus was walking, he was actually walking on frozen water. It takes so much more faith to believe something like that than just believe he walked on water. Oh, he didn't raise Lazarus from the dead. Well, the Bible says he did. People saw Lazarus. People came to see. Oh, he couldn't have fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but he did. He can do that because he's God. This fool does not recognize the power of Almighty God. He somehow thinks God is bound by scientific or natural laws, and God is above all that. And really, this fool's problem is he refuses to believe the Bible. Oh, there's another one. This is the shameless fool. We saw him in Psalm 14:1. We see him in Proverbs 9. Look there. Shameless. Proverbs 9. Or I'm sorry, 14, verse 9. 14, verse 9. The Bible says, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. This fool is the one who makes a mock of sin. Well, what's that mean, to mock sin? Well, this is the person who scoffs at the idea of sin, who treats the idea of sin with contempt. They laugh at the idea of sin. This fool has no respect for sin. What do you mean by that? He does not hold to God's definition of sin. Why not? Well, because he makes his own definition of sin. See, this is the fool that thinks sin is what I determine to be wrong. I'm my own God, I'm my own boss, I'm my own authority. And so sin to me is whatever I deem to be wrong. By the way, our world's filled with that today. In our society, and that's what our society's promoting. Our kids are being taught, nobody tells you what to do. You are your own free man or woman, and you decide for yourself. Why? You even decide what gender you are. I'm not going to go real deep into this, but I can tell any young person how to figure out in about 10 seconds what gender they are. Not a hard thing. But see, we got these people telling them, our schools and our society and our entertainment industry and all of it saying, hey, you define, you decide. Whatever you think's right's right. Whatever you think's wrong's wrong. Well, Judges talks about that. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. And so this fool treats whatever's declared to be sinful by God, he looks at with contempt and disdain. He thinks he can live any way he wants to live. He thinks there's no penalty, so to speak, for sin. That if you do something wrong, well, you do it wrong, and if you get caught, you get caught. If not, you got away with it. He doesn't recognize there's a day of judgment. This is the guy that and gal you talk to, and their feelings are this. The Bible's definition and position on sin is too restrictive and confining. This is the one who feels like, and I've had people voice this, God's not concerned with how we live. He's just concerned with whether we get saved or not. Well then, why is all this written for us to teach us how to live after we get saved? You know, our whole society today here in America makes a mock at sin. The attitude today in America is no one, not even God, can tell me what to do. But they're going to find out one day. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Then there's this one, the thoughtless fool. Matthew 7, verse 26. Matthew 7, verse 26. Here's a story about two guys building a house. One's going to build on a solid foundation of rock. The other's going to build on the sand. And Jesus reminds them that when the winds come and the water come and the floods come, that house on a rock is going to stand, but that house built on the sand is going to be destroyed. He talks about it here. And in verse 26, he says, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." That's a thoughtless fool. That speaks of the person who builds his hopes for eternal life on his good works and his religion. He's building on an unsolid foundation, if you will. He's building on something that won't hold what he's trying to build. He's trying to put a superstructure of religion up with no foundation. The Bible reminds us the foundation is Jesus Christ. The rock is Jesus Christ. He's the chief cornerstone, and the only relationship with God that can be built must be built on the rock, Christ Jesus. True salvation is found in Him and in Him alone. Well, then there's this one, the industrious fool. We read about him. This is the man, he's not a skeptic. This man does not mock sin. This is an honest, hardworking, thoughtful businessman. But he has a problem. His problem is that earthly goods and success are all that he's concerned about. He's a fool because all he sees is this life. He doesn't see that one day this life is going to end, and it could be today. By the way, friend, your life could end today. My life could end today. We hear about people all the time drop over with a heart attack. We hear about people all the time in a car accident. We hear about criminal things happening and people get killed. But see, this man has no view of that. All he can see is today. All he can see is prospering. All he can see is all his treasures. He's not thinking about one day I'm going to die and I'm going to have to stand before God. He didn't put any trust in God. All his trust was put in his goods and his riches. He didn't see the frailty of life. He lived like he's going to live forever. And that's where a lot of people and a lot of Christians are today. Living like they're going to live forever. You know, with young people, I guess that's pretty much, when you're young, you're not thinking about dying. The older you get, realize that distance between me and that grave is getting shorter. The older you get, the more you realize that. When you're young, you're really not thinking about it. You know, when you're young, really, you're stupid and you think I'm going to live forever. That's why young people do the crazy things they do. Do you remember some of the stuff you did? Man, I look back, I know there's times God kept me alive, even though I wasn't saved. Because I was doing stupid things. Yeah. And you wonder, how did I ever survive that? You were living for today. You weren't living with eternity in view. You weren't thinking I could die today. But we better live that way. This could be our last day on this earth. By the way, the rapture could happen today. If the rapture happens and you're still here, turn off the lights. But this man wasn't thinking about any of that. Listen, the fool lives for today. The wise man lives with eternity in view. Then there's the irreverent fool. He's over in Romans 1. Stay with me. Don't go to sleep now. We're doing okay. I know what time it is. Doesn't matter. We're not going to. I'm done anyway. Just kidding you. Romans 1, 21. He says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now watch this. This is the fool who knows there is a God, but he won't glorify him as God. This is the fool who gives God no place in his thinking. This is the fool who's vain in his imaginations. His imaginations are only worldly and ungodly. And this is the fool that gives God no honor in his life. Rejects God completely. Somebody said of this fool, following the vain thoughts of his own foolish heart instead of the thoughts of God, substituting his own imaginations for the revealed will of God, he sees the light, but he loves the darkness better. Got one more fool for you to meet. The Christian fool. Paul testifies, I'm a fool for Christ. We are fools for Christ, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 10. And we are to be fools for Christ. Well, what's that mean? Well, it doesn't mean for us to really be foolish. It means we're to be viewed as fools for Christ, and we are. How many of you are saved here today? You know, people around you think you're a wacko. A lot of people who know you think you're a fool. I'm serious. Now, they're glad you got Jesus, you know, and you're happy. But man, I'd never do that. They're crazy. They think we're fools. Why? Well, they think believers are bound by a set of rules that they have to live by. They think we never have any fun. Because we don't go to the bar and drink the booze, and, you know, maybe we don't go to the casino and gamble away all our money, or maybe we don't look at the porno, or maybe we don't do this or that like they do. They think we don't have any fun. But listen, we don't have to regret our fun. We don't have to wake up and wonder what we did last night. We don't have to wake up in a puddle of vomit because we drank too much. They think that we as believers, they say, they're fools. They're wasting their lives. They're wasting their opportunities. Why? He could have a good position somewhere, or she could have a good position somewhere, and they could be making money, and they could have a big house. But no, they want to go to church all the time, and they want to serve Jesus, and they want to put their kids in Christian school, and they want to sacrifice for the missions, and they want to, and so they're fools. No, they're wise. They're investing in eternity. You know, they sing, you're a fool because your buddy down at work. What'd you do yesterday? I went to church. What'd you do? I got up late Sunday morning. I was all hungover from Saturday night. Oh, man. And then, you know, I finally got going about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I went and got something to eat, went to the movies, or went to the ball game, and blah, blah, blah. And they go on and on and on about what a wonderful day they had. But what'd you do? I went to church. What'd you do after church? I went home, had a bite, took a nap, my Baptist nap. Then what'd you do? I went back to church. Fool, you wasted your whole day. No. No, you never waste time with God. No. But see, in their eyes, you're a fool. You could have been having all that fun they're having. I don't know about you, but I have fun when I come to church. They see our prioritizing spiritual things over material things as foolish. They think it's foolish when we put God's will ahead of our will. And you know, They see you, if you're a Christian who's really living for the Lord, they see you as being brainwashed and not living in reality. See, they claim we're the ones who deny reality. No, we accept the truth. But they think you're a fool. They think, oh man, you're nuts. And by the way, they see evangelism as a waste of time, money, and effort. You tell unsaved people, we're investing $40,000 this year in missionaries. And unsaved people, I had a lady from the bank here this week, we're talking about financing our thing, and she wasn't saved. I witnessed to her, but she wasn't saved. And I said, now, we have a missions program here. We got $40,000 for missions. And I'm sure she was thinking in your mind, why don't you take that $40,000 and do your renovation? Huh? That's what the average person would think. Well, just, you know, don't do that and do this because this is you, blah, 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 blah. But see, that's not spiritual thinking. That's foolish thinking. What do you mean? When you take care of that, God's going to take care of this. Yeah. So they say, oh, you don't need to worry about those people in far-off lands. Why? Somehow God's going to take care of them. No. No, God said faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? Somebody got to go tell them, because that's how people get saved. Oh, you don't need to worry about them. God. And the Calvinist. Oh, my. Don't even go there. I've never figured out why a Calvinist wants to support missionaries. Don't make sense. If they believe God's going to save who he's going to save anyway, what's the point? But see, we believe it's a whosoever will may come. Yeah. Here's a quote. It is infinitely better to be a fool in the eyes of Christ, or it is infinitely better to be a fool in the eyes of a Christless society and be wise in the sight of God than to be a fool in the sight of God and wise in the eyes of sin-blinded men. I'll be a fool for Christ any day and every day. I wouldn't want it to be any different. Well, these are seven fools. Fools we find in the Bible that God reveals to us. And there is, according to the Bible, a right kind of fool. And that's one who is a fool for Christ. And there are several wrong kinds of fools. And today we have to ask ourselves our question, which category am I in? Listen, there's a lot of Christians who are fools, spiritual fools, because they're investing everything in this world. Yeah. They're living for this life. This life is preparatory. It's getting us ready for the next. We're going to spend 60, 70, maybe like Charlie Jones, 110 years on this earth. But see, then we spend all eternity with him. So what should be the priority? Here and now or then? Listen, if you're waiting for the world to see you as a Christian, as being wise and, you know, the best thing to be and all that, it ain't going to happen because they don't understand. But we do. So we need to purpose in our heart. I'm going to be a fool for Christ. I'm going to live in such a way the world thinks I'm wacko. The world's going to think I'm living foolishly because I'm doing everything just opposite of what they think, what their ideas are, what their mindset is. Are you a fool for Christ? We should be. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Fool for Christ.